If you can turn your Bibles to Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 23 to 27. Can someone read? Verse 27 too. Thank you. This is a passage we have been looking for 6 weeks now. We've been looking at this particular verse, and even though we may have gone to other passages, we were looking at discipleship. What is the importance of discipleship? How does it affect us as children of God? And then we went through a couple of verses, and in that we talked about discipleship is denying yourself, taking up the cross, and following Jesus. We looked at many things that will examine this. We saw that the hour that Jesus has come is here, and unless that seed dies, it shall not produce fruit. And we looked at the verse, he who loves his life loses it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. We looked at, as we were looking and examining these passages and these words, the things that really stood out to us is that eternal life is the most important thing we can gain in this world. And eternal life is knowing God. The cost of that is priceless. The world will say that the things that they give is priceless, but they have a price tag. And there is an expiry date. There's only one thing that is eternal and never-ending, will never be destroyed. That is your eternity or your citizenship in heaven. So God wants us to enter into this kingdom living, this kingdom life, this eternal life while we are here on earth. That is why when we looked, we said our citizenship is not here, it is in heaven. So we have got to have a heavenly perspective, not earthly perspective. And then we talked about a couple of idols that we have, things that distract us, things that might be important. I said the fleshly man and the spiritual man are always at odds with one another. In fact, Pastor talked about it in the morning during Bible study. He said that you got to feed your spiritual man. How do you do this? By digging into the word and spending time in prayer. This is important. Only when we feed the spiritual man can we grow and overcome the fleshly man. We talked about fasting. We talked about why it is important, why we need to deny ourselves, why we need to persecute ourselves. And so we were going through these different passages. Today, my intention is to finish this topic. I want to finish Discipleship 101, this topic that has been going on for 6 weeks. I want to end it. And of course, we're going to continue studying this in Scripture. It never ends. Discipleship is an ongoing thing. And I'm going to end our session today with a few verses. Let's take Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Thank you. Can you read from verse 22, Reggie brother? It's the same chapter. Thank you. Thank you. Let me read this passage, this verse. This is Paul talking to the elders in Ephesus. This is the final missionary journey that Paul is undertaking. In fact, he spent 3 years in Ephesus. If you read the previous chapters in Acts, you see that he spent significant time in Ephesus. He saw the move of God. He saw the whole city that was turned upside down because Paul was there. But then he left there and he went back to Philippi, which is Macedonia, back where God originally sent him. And from there, he had a desire to come to Jerusalem. And somehow, Paul knew this would be my last trip. After this, there will be no more missionary trips. And so he is making his trip, and he knows that in Ephesus there are a group of Jews who said, we will kill this Paul guy. We want to destroy this fellow. So Paul avoids landing in Ephesus, which is the main port city, and he goes and lands in Miletus. He sends us one of his a reporter or someone, informs the elder, come meet me here in Miletus. The Ephesus leader, so the church in Ephesus is an important church. In fact, that is where we believe that John the Apostle was stationed towards the end of his life. Believe John, the beloved apostle of Jesus, was the bishop at Ephesus. So Ephesus is a really important town. Paul invites the elders to come and meet him in Miletus. And when he is speaking to them, he is saying, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, but I don't know what's going to happen to me. Paul is convinced that this can probably be his last moments in his life. Remember, Jerusalem is the center of Jews, and all the Jews hated Paul. They wanted to destroy him. They wanted to kill him. So Paul was thinking, something's going to happen. There are so many Jews who are going to kill me, and I'm going to the center of the Jews. As he's going there, he knows that in verse 23, the Holy Spirit is the one that is binding me in verse 22 and 23. It is the Holy Spirit tells me, in every city you will have bond and affliction. You will have suffering, you will have pain, you will have affliction. Nobody wants to hear that. You know, when the Holy Spirit moves, we want to hear, we will have a breakthrough, we will have a release, we will have a revival, we will have doors open. Nobody wants to hear, you're going to get affliction, you will get pain, you will get suffering, you will be in bondage. No, we want to come to church to break free from bondage. Here the Holy Spirit is telling Paul, you are going to be in bondage. That is not something when someone comes and prophesies to me, Joel, you're going to be in bondage. I'm not going to say hallelujah, stotram. I'm not going to thank God for that situation. But Paul understood that the Holy Spirit is the one that has bound him to this journey. This is his last destination. He reaches Jerusalem. He is there for 2 years. He's tried there, and then he appeals to Caesar. So he goes to Rome, and over there for 5 to 7 years, Paul is in Rome until he meets Caesar. We don't know what happens to him after that. Some people say he's killed by Nero. Some people say he escaped and went to Spain. We don't know really what happened to him. But when we look at this man's life, this is the last moments. No more missionary trip for him. In these moments is where he writes almost 75% of the letters that we have in the Bible. His missionary journey is done, and in the prisons, he writes the letters that we read today in the Bible. Here he knows, I don't consider my life, verse 24, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. You go on, you can read more about what Paul talks there to the Ephesus. So the leaders of Ephesus feel like this is the last time they're going to see him. They start crying, and Paul comforts them in the way that only Paul can comfort them. And Paul leaves from there and he goes forward. But he understands, Paul understands that he is going to go into a place of suffering, affliction, pain, bondage, persecution. But he knows he's being led there by God. And so he says, my life is not important. My life's mission is to share the gospel. This is the same Paul we read earlier who said, I consider all things as rubbish in light of the glory of God, or knowing Jesus Christ, the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. So this is not a surprise to us. Now, for us to understand, again, I'm saying this death and dying, this the idea of a person who wants to live their life will lose it. The person who wants to lose their life will live it. The same thing here when we look at Paul. Paul is not intentionally trying to preserve his life. If Paul was trying to preserve his life and someone told him, in Jerusalem there is chains waiting for you, Paul will say, what is the opposite direction of Jerusalem? That's where I will head. That's what we would do. If a prophet came and promised you, saying, if you stay here in Toronto, there is a big trouble coming to you, I will look at the map and see what's the furthest distance from Toronto, and I'm going to go there. Right? We want to avoid trouble. Paul says, bring it on. Because he knows he's being led by the Spirit. He doesn't mind risking his life for a greater purpose. Let us read Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. So when we read that verse, I want you to ask yourself, what profit will a person get if they gain everything in this world but loses their soul? What is their profit? Their net profit is zero. And I think of the world's smartest or most knowledgeable man, Stephen Hawking. In the end days, he wrote that God's not real. His net profit is zero. It doesn't matter how great your achievements are on earth. All of us know Stephen Hawking, but his net profit is zero. In eternity, no one will be talking about Stephen Hawking. The point is, our eyes need to be fixed on eternal life, not on temporal life. I said about obituaries. You know, when we go to obituaries or to a funeral service, a home-going service, what do we see? People are praising the life of that person. It's called a eulogy. A eulogy is something that we think is only given after a person's death. No, you can praise any person, even when they're living or dying, and it's called eulogy. You can give me an eulogy face-to-face anytime, okay? Anyway, that's a joke. But then what I'm trying to say is, like, so we all want to receive praise from people. We want to hear what people appreciate about us. Even the person who's saying, no, that's not true, but tell me more, you know? You know, even if we want to hear good things about ourselves, we want to hear how we are a blessing to other people. It's natural. But no matter what you do for another person in this world, it will all fail if we are not rooted in eternity. So our purpose, our first and foremost purpose, is to fix our eyes on the eternal. Because the temporal with the world and everything will pass away. Everything in this world will burn up. But God wants us to fix our eyes on eternity, which will never be lost. If we go on, I want us to read Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 to 12. Then I saw the cloud crossing in heaven. Thus shall they be strength and healing of our God. here we are reading this portion which talks about there is something that is happening. We actually sang this song when Alex's brother was leading our English worship. He said, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the saints. This is from the scripture. It says that the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah has come. The kingdom is here. How can the children of God be ready? Last week, we looked at getting ready for the wedding. We have to have our royal robes, our festal robes, our wedding gown. What is it? The righteousness of Christ. Here, the church is finally set apart. The church finally comes to fruition. And how does the church overcome the enemy? Two things. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. Last week we looked at, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? We had to keep our garments spotless, white as snow. So we had to constantly wash ourselves in the blood of the Lamb. We know that song. But then it goes on to say, by the word of their testimony, which means that the person who endures persecution, the person who endures until the end, every time when a person gets baptized in our church, when they rise up out of the water, pastor gives them a command for them to follow. What is that command? What? Be faithful until the end and you will gain the crown of life. How do you say that in Malayalam? Yeah, you guys know that verse. All of you guys heard it at one point or the other. It is saying that if you're faithful until the end, you will gain the crown of life. Which means those who endure, those who overcome. How do they overcome? With their testimony. Children of God, each one of us have a testimony. There's not a single one of you who has come into the presence of God without a testimony. All of you have experienced the grace of God in your life. You have encountered the presence of the living God in your life. If you have not, you cannot praise. If you have not, you cannot worship. Worship is a response to what God has done in life. When we sing, God, you are great. You do miracles so great. We know he is great because he has accomplished miracles in our life. Every praise and worship session is a response to characteristics of God. What we have experienced. When we say, Yahweh Rapha, he is our healer. We have experienced his healing. When we are saying, Yahweh Shalom, he is our peace. When we know that God is with us, we know that he is Emmanuel God. We have experienced this God in our situation. Only then we can say, he's our healer. He is my savior. He is my redeemer. He is my doctor. He is my all in all. This is our testimony. The testimony of the saints is Jesus is our everything. In the end, how are these the church marked? They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. Children of God, this is where I think the Western church really gets confused. Because in North India, in places in Africa and in places in Asia, there are people who literally give their life every day for the knowledge of Christ, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We who are here in the West don't experience the same kind of persecution. So oftentimes we are brought into a place of security and comfortability, thinking that we are okay. You see, if we know we are in an attack or in a war, all of us will wear the weapons and the armor. You see, when Ukraine right now There was a time when in Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine, where the when the missiles come, the silo warning is going on 24/7. Because the people of Kyiv got so used to that sound, they were not ready when the actual missile hit them. We are in a constant warfare, but we have become so used to it, we have tuned out the warfare sound around us. Children of God, it doesn't matter whether you're in West or you're in East, whether you're in North or South, there is a real war that is being fought over you. There is a war that is happening in heavenly spaces. We cannot see it, but right now there are angels who are watching over you, and the enemy is sending his angels to attack you. In the midst of that, God is protecting his people. And in the midst of that, this is our story. This is our experience. This is our testimony. God is a good God. He is a faithful God. It doesn't matter what situation or circumstance that you go through. Our God is a God who is good in every circumstance. That's what we heard this morning from Pastor during the Bible study. And all things work together for good for those who are love God and called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Children, Romans 8, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says that all those who are called with a purpose. Do you believe you're called with a purpose? If you do, know that God works all things for good. God makes all things happen for your good. We might not understand it. When Pastor was talking this morning, he said that he experienced pain like never before in his life, in his physical body, through cancer. This morning, he said something that literally shocked me. He said, if this disease were to come again, I would rather die because the pain is so much that I can't bear it. To think that even in the midst of that, Pastor is saying, God makes all things work together for good is something beautiful. It is easy to say God is good when you experience his goodness. It is easy to say God is our healer when we experience healing from our sickness and disease. But in the midst of your lows, in the midst of your valleys, in the midst of your difficulties and your tribulations, can you still say our God is a good God? This is where God wants us to be. When I started this message back in the first session 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago now, I started with talking about denying yourself and fasting. And I'd like to end this session with a portion that's talking about this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 onwards. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 onwards. Go on. Thank you. So, when we talked about this in the first time, I said we need to persecute ourselves, we need to deny ourselves, we have to fast from our comforts and our pleasures, so that we are feeding our spiritual man and starving our fleshly man. And I said that everything we do in this world is one or the other. There is no neutral thing. You're either feeding the flesh or you're feeding the spiritual man. But your fleshly man also needs to survive. You also need to live in this world. If you starve from your fleshly man will die. We all need water to survive. We all need food to survive. We all need rest to survive. We all need sleep to survive. We all need light to survive. We all need society and social interaction to survive. We all need all these clothes and benefits in this world to survive. But Jesus is saying the focus should not be what you get in this world. Remember, the focus should be on eternity. All the things that we gain here should be just what is necessary to get us to the end. When we all lived in the Gulf, I use that example, not all, but like some of you lived in the Gulf. In Gulf, of course, you invested in something. You had to buy fruits. You had to buy vegetables. You needed to cook. You needed to live. You needed to pay for rent. But you're not, all of you are still thinking, how can I put money aside? Because you want to spend for eternity. So when your child comes and says, I want this, I want that, and that expensive thing, you're telling them, no money, no money. When you go to India and that house, I will get a PS5 there. Because what? We know we are leaving here. When we go to our eternal house, there we will have something that lasts forever. We just need to survive this earth so we can get to our eternal heaven. None of us should think that this is where our house is. The minute we do that, we have lost the race. We have lost being a Christian. We are no longer a disciple of Christ. Let's just stay in Matthew chapter 6 and read verse 24. Thank you. Here again is another recap of what I was saying. A person who's a rich man came to Christ. You all know the story. And Jesus said, you still lack one thing. Go, give all your possessions, and come and follow me. Was that man ready? And I asked myself and all of us this question. We said we wouldn't be ready, naturally. But the truth is, if we are not ready, we are not ready to be a disciple of Jesus. Unless we are willing to give everything up for Christ. That is a tall order. It's a big thing. God is asking us, can you lay everything on the altar? Just like Abraham. Are you willing to kill your future? Are you willing to kill your promise? Are you willing to risk it all for your love for me? Children of God, we need to get there. And if we are struggling, it's natural because we all want blessings. The problem is the blessings are often of a fleshly, physical, temporal nature, not an eternal nature. When we have that kind of mindset, we are not living for eternity, we are living for this world. Children of God, we need to change our perspective. Offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Renew our mind so that it's not conformed according to the standards of this world. Because this is the worship that God wants. He doesn't want idol worship. He wants worship that is due as a living sacrifice on the altar. Put yourself on the altar. Are you being hurt when you worship God? Or rather, are you comfortable? Are you okay? Then, are you actually burning up? Are you being a living sacrifice? That's what Romans chapter 12 says. You cannot serve both God and money. If you're running after an increased paycheck, we are all doing it. Even I want an increased paycheck. Listen, elders of the church, I'm joking, by the way. We all are running for an increased paycheck. We all need that to survive. We need to take care of our family and things. But what I'm trying to say is, when we are running for the things of this world, we will not be able to be satisfied completely. Let's say this church increases or doubles my pay. Will I be satisfied? No. I will want more and more and more. My only satisfaction is when I'm rooted in Christ. That's why Paul said in Philippians, I have learned to be content in much and in little, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That verse was not meant to be used for you to be able to do some superhuman feat. The verse was originally used to learn to be content in every circumstance of your life. If you're struggling to be content in your circumstance, think to yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will get through this difficulty. I will get through this desert. I will get through this earthquake. I will get through this fire. I will get through wilderness because the God who is with me will strengthen me for this journey. That is the proper use of that verse. I'm going to end here. Let's read Matthew chapter 6, verse 30 to 33. That's where I finish. Worship team, you can come forward now. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 30 to 33. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. So you're finished. Thank you. So when we read that portion of scripture, this is a verse all of our children know. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our stress is on all these things. Imagine that's not the stress. And the verse ended there, halfway through. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Full stop. That would not have been a famous verse. Think about it. We know that verse because all these things shall be added unto you. Children of God, our perspective is still on the temporal things. We are looking for blessings, not after the kingdom of God. Instead, if we are chasing after God, whether the blessing comes or not, no problem. I will seek his kingdom and his righteousness no matter the cost. We need a perspective shift. We need to change our eyes from what is temporary and earthly to the eternal eyes that is heavenly. Worship team, come forward, please. We are going to ask God to give us an understanding, a perspective shift, a paradigm change. A change in our perspective, the change in our thoughts. Today, God is going to break certain yokes. Children of God, today let me tell you, you want a blessing? God will give you blessing. When Jesus came on this earth, did he only teach theological truth? No. He gave food to people who needed food. He healed the people who needed healing. He raised the dead from life. If God was all about suffering, he would not need to do that on the earth. God wants to bless his children. But when the children of God are fixed on the gold and silver, then God will crush his people. Just like the Israelites. Because he is more interested in our eternity than have us blessed in this earth and our eyes be distracted. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? But when your eyes are fixed on God, when your eyes are fixed on eternity, every blessing that you need on this earth will be given to you. Everything that you need for life and survival in this world will be given to you. That is my God. You want a healing? Seek him. You want a deliverance? Seek him. But don't come to his presence and say, I want this blessing. Say, God, whether you heal me or don't heal me, whether you save me or don't save me, whether you increase my paycheck or not, I will never follow another idol. Are we willing to do that? Can we all stand up? I'm going to sing a line of song that is difficult for us Malayalis to sing. But I'm going to challenge you to sing this song. This song is usually a funeral song. It is Dukkathinte Panipathram. Oftentimes when this song plays, we act like we're singing. Because we don't want to say the words. Understandably, it's very tough words. This was a song written by Kochu Onya Obudeshi Sadhu. Okay? You know when he wrote this song? When did he write this song? When his son died. This man was a man who suffered for Christ. Of course, yeah, if you know his background, he was a Marthomite and things like that. But he lived very simply. After he worked in the field, in the farm, he would go and evangelize the gospel. What did he own? Just one white munda and one white shirt. That's all he wore. And everywhere he walked with his Bible. When he went to Tamil Nadu, the people called him a holy man. That's why he was called a sadhu. This man gave everything for God. He would spend time praying, spend time reading the Bible. In the midst of that situation, God took his second son, Samuel Kutty. In the midst of that circumstance, can you still say, God is good? Because that's what following Christ looks like. It is easy to follow him when everything is convenient, or when he takes what is yours. Are you willing to say, Dukkathinte Panapathram, Karthavinte Kayil Thannal, Sandoshathode Adu Vaangi, Hallelujah, Paadidum Njan? That requires an eternal perspective. Are you guys getting what I'm saying? Only when we understand an eternal perspective can we sing that song. Then in the midst of any situation, God, take my son, take my family, take my spouse, take my job, take my houses, take my wealth, take everything around me. Then like Job, we can say, God gives, God takes away, blessed be his name. Even when this man, holy man, gave up everything for God, God still took something that was dear to him. Does that verse become good then? God makes all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Was that good? Was that good? Having his son die, was that good? Yes, it is. Pastor going through cancer, was it good? Yes, it is. Because that is the will of God for his children. I'm going to just read those words before we sing that song. Doshamai tundum enno dente thadan cheyge illa enne avan adichalum avan enne snehikkunnu kashtam nashtam eri vannal ഭാഗ്യവാനായി തീരുന്നു ഞാൻ കഷ്ടം ഏറ്റു കർത്താവോട് കൂട്ടാളിയായി തീരുന്നു ഞാൻ ആർ വി പാർട്ടിസിപ്പേറ്റിംഗ് ഇൻ ദ സഫറിംഗ് ഓഫ് ക്രൈസ്റ്റ് ലോകത്തെ ഞാൻ ഓർക്കുന്നില്ല കഷ്ടം നഷ്ടം ഓർക്കുന്നില്ല എപ്പോൾ എൻ്റെ കർത്താവിന് ഒന്നു കാണാ. Can that be our heart's desire? What this world gives is rubbish. But when we fixed our eyes on our Savior, our Lord, the Eternal, what this earth can give you will fade away. This is discipleship 101. This is the cost of being a Christian. Whatever comes, I will follow Christ. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The cross before me, which means trouble, difficulty, sacrifices before me. The world behind me with its comforts, but no turning back. No turning back. Loga saukhyam endu tharam. Atma klesham adinvelam. സൗഭാഗ്യമുള്ള ആത്മജീവൻ കഷ്ടതയിൽ വർദ്ധിക്കുന്നു. ജീവനാതിൽ വൻ പൂവൻ്റെ കാഴ്ചയുടെ ശോഭാവേണ കൂടാരാതിൻ മൂടി പോലെ ക്രൂശിൻ നിറം മാത്രം മതി ഉള്ളിൽ എനിക്കെന്തു സുഖം തേജസ്സേരും ചെറു കയ്യിൽ കൊടുത്തപ്പോൾ സന്തോഷത്തോടാണ് അത് വാങ്ങുന്നത്. നമ്മളെ ഓർത്തിട്ടാണ് അവൻ ആ കപ്പെന്ന് കുടിക്കുന്നത്. ഇന്ന് നമ്മൾ ആരാധിക്കാൻ ഇവിടെ പറ്റുന്നത്, നമ്മളുടെ സൗഖ്യം നമുക്ക് കിട്ടാൻ പറ്റുന്നത് കർത്താവ് കുരിശിൽ ചെയ്തതുപോലെയാണ്. എന്നാൽ നമുക്ക് ആ കുരിശിനെ വഹിക്കാൻ പറ്റുമോ? This is the cost of being my disciple. Deny yourself. Take up the cross daily and follow me. Rubaraba shakarababa. Idaramama manakatharaba. Inna ee message ne ningalku adu adinu vendi ningale if you are willing to submit to that when we sing these songs I just want you to give yourself all of you, all that you have, everything that is in you. Say, God, I will live for you. I will die for you.